Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another episode of USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Our guest today is Craig Candido, a former quarterback under Paul Johnson at Navy and a former Navy lieutenant fighter pilot who now is the quarterbacks and B-backs coach at Georgia Tech. Coach has also spent some time at the high school level as well as Division III level and has seen, you know, what his offense can do at different levels, in that offense being an option offense. Coach, we appreciate you taking the time to be on our podcast.
Thanks for having me, Keith.
Well, Coach, let's talk a little bit about the offense, first of all, as we're speaking in season. What are some things you start to look for as a coach of a triple option offense to add some wrinkles or break tendencies, or, you know, sometimes for the players, you just have to keep it fresh. So how do you approach that during the season?
Yeah, I think from a tendency standpoint, we're always kind of reviewing what we're doing week to week, but also opponent-wise. Being a unique system, you know, we typically don't get a ton of film of teams defending what we do. So, you know, if it's an opponent that we've played for a while and being in a conference for us here, you know, we're able to get that film. Now that Coach Johnson's been here for going on his 10th season, we can kind of see how guys have defended us in the past. But, you know, there's only so many different ways that you can defend what we're doing. And our theory is that we're going to be better at doing what we do than they are at stopping us. So execution is key. But, you know, we typically practice throughout spring and then all into fall camp a lot of different looks. And it's really not specific to any team. So we've got some built-in wrinkles that we already have in our mind that we know are going to be good against certain schemes or looks or stunts. So it kind of makes the in-season process a little bit easier as far as if we want to tweak things here or there.
And having coached this offense at multiple levels, I think one of the things that comes up a lot of time from coaches and, you know, when I talk to option football coaches is, how do you guys approach the junk defense, the one that, you know, kind of breaks some of the rules and they try to, at least early in the game, do some things to really mess up your timing?
Yeah, you know, you've seen it all. Like I said, like any offense, you've got base rules, and we just go back to the basics of what we're kind of trying to do on each play. And, you know, our linemen have base rules, our quarterbacks have base rules, our A-backs have base rules, and so forth. So, you know, I think anytime there's something that maybe, which is very rare, you know, that we see something that we haven't seen on film or in person, you know, just go back to those basics and kind of simplify it for the guy. Say, listen, it may look different, but go back to, hey, what technique is this guy? Where is this linebacker lined up? And kind of go from there to help simplify it. Because, you know, I think a lot of times, having played in the system and coached in the system as a player, sometimes you go out there and you say, whoa, haven't seen that before. But at the end of the day, it's just bodies in positions, and the scheme is set up to where, and the system's set up to where, if you go based off of your base knowledge of where guys are lined up and what you're doing, you should be able to execute and survive any look that they give you.
I think that's a pretty good philosophy, really, for any offenses, to have that approach that you're going to be able to handle everything. Because, you know, really at any level, but especially when you talk about high school level, you can't always be sure what they're going to show up in. They may be playing a, you know, base type of defense the whole year, and then all of a sudden, because they've seen something on film, maybe they decide to align differently or change things up. So you have to be ready for that, those changes. And I think your approach certainly applies really to any offense. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree, yeah. And I talk to a lot of high school coaches specifically that run this offense, but also that run other offenses. And I think you hit the nail on the head with, I think people in high school are more willing to gamble week to week to throw those junk looks at you more so than at our level. I don't know why that is, but I hear a lot of stories about, man, you never know what you're going to get. Plus, part of it may be practice time and meeting time and all that, to where the junk look may not be intended to be a junk look, but it ended up being one because the kids were misaligned or something like that. But
right. But
absolutely. And I also think that, you know, I think maybe defensive coordinators in high school think that they'll be able to confuse a high school offense a lot easier because they don't have the practice time or the meeting time with doing something like that.
Well, speaking of the practice time and the meeting time, certainly the parameters over the last several years have begun to change with how much coaches are including contact as part of their drills. We've put a focus on player safety and player health. So how has that really affected the way you practice, over the last several years as we've found ways to, I guess, scale back the contact but emphasize timing and the mental side of the game?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, anytime we're talking about player safety, that's important. And Coach Johnson said this a million times. He said, "If you're an idiot if you're trying to get your guys hurt because you got to play with them, right?" So as coaches, we're regardless of what the rules are, when they've changed and when they haven't, I think if you're a good coach, you've always got that in mind, trying to take care of your players, trying to make sure that they're fresh and healthy, because if you beat your own team up, you're the one that should be at fault. You're not going to be there very long because you're not going to win games. But I think anytime the topic's brought up, it's good because we need to talk about those things. Because certainly I'm sure there are guys out there, there's a lot of football being played, and there are a lot of coaches out there possibly that aren't taking their kids' safety into account. But yeah, it's a fine line because it's a physical football game, physical game, and football is. And, you've got to do a certain amount of hitting because that's what you do on Saturdays. And, you got to block and tackle, and you certainly can't do all that in shorts. And so it is a fine line, but I think we've done some good things to be able to cut back in areas, maybe not just from a contact standpoint, but from a leg standpoint, because obviously if guys get fatigued later in the season, there's higher tendency for injuries. So just being smart with, the time that you're putting in drills, what sessions you're actually going full go, and then other times that may be more teaching, just from a saving of legs standpoint, so that you can be your freshest and your healthiest come competition time. Because I think that's the goal, is to be able to get your work accomplished, but also be have your athletes performing at the highest level that they can once game time hits.
Can you give us some examples of some things that you guys are doing that would be, good models for coaches out there that, I know you guys have more practice time, meeting time, but certainly we can at the high school level and some different levels divide our time up differently, especially as the season goes on. What are some things that you guys do that we can learn from?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's – I think as a football coach, most of us are ingrained that, hey, harder is better, max effort's better, but I think don't be afraid to slow it down. Slow it down. Have some walkthrough periods. Maybe have a walkthrough period and then have a full go period. Or, I think in my mind, it just crossed into my mind, hey, half speed, but nobody wants to go half speed, right? That's what we teach our athletes. Hey, it's full speed, full speed, full speed. So, maybe it is as simple as a walkthrough period, making sure everybody's on the same page, and then going into that full speed drill, whether it's against bags or whatever it is, just not being afraid to slow down the pace of practice. Because I think as a coach coming up, like I said, and slowing the pace down, what are we doing? But it's okay. It's okay to teach. It's okay to slow it down and get that mental aspect down, because clearly if the mental aspect isn't there, you won't be able to do it at full speed. So just being okay with slowing it down, I think, is probably a big one.
Coach, we've seen a lot of technology really booming in the way of coaching tools, in the way of player learning, and virtual reality being a big one. Obviously, we see that all the time with teaching quarterbacks, progressions in the passing game. Do you see a use for that in some of the run game with what we're doing today, both with option, RPOs, and all those different types of things?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, if you're not changing with the times, and you're getting left behind. So, I think any way that you can gain an advantage to help your players in practice or film study or anything like that is going to help. I mean, I think especially from a simulation standpoint in the meeting room, I think the mental game is so important. So, being able to find ways to get your players when you're talking to them just in a meeting room, finding the way that they learn best that is going to translate to the field when, everything's chaos around them and they've got to make decisions and make reads. So, I think there's a lot of different thoughts out there. There's a lot of different things that you can use. For me at quarterback, I think putting as much pressure on them off the field in a meeting room as you do on the field or in practice is good just because of, you know, the responsibility that those guys carry. So, you know, certainly there are things out there that you can do to be able to get your guys ready from a technology standpoint, from a changing the game standpoint, I think, in the meeting room as well.
Having spent time in the Navy as a fighter pilot, were you surprised at all with the carryover for some of the technology that you were using to train making its way into football?
You know, I'm not surprised. You know, everybody's trying to make a dollar, so you know, everybody's trying to make a way to find the cutting edge and be the guy that, you know, is. I mean, I've seen a million products come through here at Georgia Tech just in the past year, and there's a lot of good ones. You know, certainly I think you can end up chasing product after product, trying to find the latest fad. You know, again, at the end of the day, it's blocking and tackling is a pretty simple game, but you know, you can use those things. And as far as the Navy creeping into the athletic side, it doesn't surprise me because that's a very high pressure, high performing environment, and so is football. You know, I would never relate what our armed forces do to what football players do in a serious standpoint, but from a there are a lot of carryovers and a lot of similarities. There is pressure in both, and you have to be very precise in both to be successful. So, no, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Obviously, one of the other carryovers or similarities between the military experience and a game like football is the culture and the leadership behind it. And I know you're big into those things. You know, a lot of teams, a lot of guys spend time building all that culture and leadership in the preseason and the off season, and then sometimes it gets pushed to the back burner as you hit the season and the strategy and the games, all those things become the focus. So how do you maintain or even continue to build your culture and your leadership during the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. You're exactly right. I mean, you're spot on with saying, you know, those things as far as, because you think in the preseason you've got more time and all that, and then once you get to the season, it gets so busy and you're just trying to get that next win and worry about football. But it is just as important to focus on those things during the season because those are some of the best teaching moments. And I think it may be just as simple as, hey, pulling the team aside or your position group aside and spending 5 minutes talking about, well, this happened last week. Well, how did we respond? Was that the correct response from a leadership standpoint, from a good team standpoint, from a good teammate standpoint? And just as simple as taking 5 minutes to address it and not just blowing past it, because the best time to teach is in the moment when it's fresh and it's in your mind. So you're really fighting that urge to just suppress those things in season and address those things, like I said, with your position group or your offense or defense or the whole team, depending on what your role is. And then I think you can do certain things in your meetings as well to really jog the minds of your players. Or if you don't have a lot of meeting time, it may be a pre-practice deal where you get your group up and talk to them about issues in leadership or sometimes just what's going on in the world and their thoughts on things like that. Because we all know most of us, if not all of us, are in this thing to develop young men into being better people and hopefully leaders in the future. To neglect that side just because you're in the grind of a season, I think, is a disservice to the players.
And you bring up all of those groups. And when you think about it, as the head coach, and you've served in that role, as the head coach, you set the vision, but you're really relying on your position coaches to drive that culture. And sometimes they really have more of the overall effect of it, because essentially they're the guys right in there with them and building it. So, you know, what are your thoughts on what a position coach can do specifically to support the head coach's vision and mission and philosophy and obviously everything he's trying to do to build a culture?
Yeah, I think first as a head coach, you've got to let those guys know on your staff that it's important that you do those things, even in season, because you know, I know being in both roles as a position coach and a head coach, you know, sometimes as a position coach, you don't think about it. You know, you're just trying to get it done and get your guys to perform. But I think that message has to be clear that it's important from the top down. And then as a position coach, you know, just I think continuing to make yourself a better leader as well, and asking questions of maybe other assistant coaches and maybe some peers that you have just on ideas that maybe they do. But I think, for just a small thing, I think starting out a meeting with, maybe a reading of the day or maybe an example of someone in history that was a good leader. Or, with technology now, you can either just pop a text message to your players at 10 o'clock on Monday or something. And, hopefully they'll read it. And then maybe you can follow up with them in face-to-face time and to kind of get their thoughts on, maybe what they thought. And that's 2 to 3 minutes. It doesn't take long. And by doing that, maybe you jog some thoughts of, hey, maybe it's bigger than just me executing this play or that. And, I'm a firm believer that if you can build character and culture in your athletes, and that's going to spill over to the field. And more importantly, it's going to spill over into their life outside of football, which is really the end goal.
Coach, like a lot of things in football, leadership is very dynamic. It's not something that just is established and stays the same way. So we spend our offseason training those guys and helping them become leaders. But ultimately, when we put the game on top of that, things start to change. And sometimes some of those players who you thought would step up and shine as leaders level out a little bit. And then all of a sudden there's this guy from underneath who was kind of just in the background all off season and steps up with his play and finds that confidence. How do you deal with those kinds of changes in leadership, both to pull that guy maybe who is underperforming as a leader, but also to celebrate and maybe even elevate that guy who all of a sudden now is, has guys rallying around him?
Yeah, I think it's that can obviously happen. I think being in tune with the team and kind of feeling the pulse of what's going on is important. Talking to your players to be able to see what their take is, because, our guys are not stupid and they understand and they kind of see. And sometimes, to be honest, we don't see as coaches what they see. And, to try and be on the same page and have those conversations, hey, who do you think is a leader on the football team? And typically, in my experience, it's the guys that are the better players that they view as leaders. It's not necessarily the guy with the biggest mouth. But I think being able to get an idea on what they think and who they think are the leaders, then you can tap into and help develop those guys. If they're not maybe a guy that sees themselves as a leader, kind of develop them to become someone that you want them to be for that team in that leadership role. But I think you also have to, and I've kind of the last few years really started to think about this more, is, not everybody can be a leader, right? If you have 75 guys on your football team, you don't want 75 leaders, right? So no. I think the followership piece is just as vital as the leadership piece. And I think that kind of goes to your initial question of, hey, this guy was a leader in the off season. This next guy kind of wasn't, and he came up through the season and, established himself more as the leader than we thought this guy was going to be. So really knowing what it means to, number one, be qualified and be a good leader, and educating the guys that quote unquote are the leaders of your team, but then also talking to the rest of the team about, hey, if you're not the guy out front, it's okay. You still might have a chance to be there in the future or a few games or whatever, but when you're not the guy out front as a leader, it's just as important and just as vital to be able to be a guy that is a good teammate and a good follower. And, because I think we do talk about leadership a lot, and we just don't talk about, hey, what's it mean to kind of be in the background and be the guy that's not necessarily a spokesperson or the leader and doing your job and continuing to support the team captain or whatever in that role that you're in. So I think those pieces are important to talk about as well with your team.
Absolutely, Coach. That's an interesting idea, because it's not, we talk about leadership on this podcast all the time. We don't talk about followership and how important that is. And you're right. I mean, we're trying to train these guys to be leaders and to go out and do other things outside of our realm, as they, go through our program and graduate and become men. But how important is it to establish that understanding of here's what it takes to be a good follower? And what would you say are maybe a few of the keys to saying, guys, you're not all going to leave, but here's the things I need you to do.
Right. I think it's like anything, it's you know, you're not going to get the credit for being, you know, being out there and being the guy that's the captain. So just, you know, staying humble and, you know, really backing up maybe what, because it's a chain, right? So the head coach is going to work through the team captains, who then is going to flow to the rest of the team. So if all things are going well and you've got a good culture going, then that flow is not going to be disrupted, and your team captains hopefully are going to reflect the head coaches and the assistant coaches' mission and their goal for the team. And then just being able to be on board as a follower with that, not trying to buck the system and saying, hey, well, I don't like the fact that Joe Smith got our captain, got onto our linebacker because he wasn't doing his assignment. You know, it's he's a guy, he's a high performing captain, and he knows what he's talking about. Get on board with what this team's doing. So, you know, just kind of being behind the scenes and supporting, you know, the mission and the kind of the message from up top and what the leaders are saying.
Coach, I certainly appreciate you taking the time with us. And the final question we have for you is what is the one thing you would point to? You know, you spent all off season, you're getting to the preseason, now we're competing. What's the one thing you point to as giving your guys, your players, the winning edge during the season?
I think it's mental toughness. Football's a tough game, as we all know. And there's a lot of good players out there. There's a lot of good coaches, you know, a lot of good schemes. Mental toughness, I think, is probably one of the biggest things, especially as you continue to go on and on and deeper into the season, because football's like life, right? There's some things that happen that are good. There's things that happen that are bad. And you have to be mentally tough to be able to handle both of those. You know, if you lose your first three games, you got to have mental toughness to say, hey, this stops now. We're going to turn this thing around. If you win your first three games, it's mentally tough to say, all right, we haven't done anything yet. We got to continue to push. And from a, you know, overall scheme in games, it's that much like that, but also in games itself from quarter to quarter. And to be able to stay focused on the mission, whether you're tired, hurt, down, up, and continue to push as if, you know, the score is 0-0, you're no wins and no losses, and just continue to work to your standard of excellence, which, you know, regardless of the situation or the circumstances, you know, I think that's very difficult. So I think the teams that can stay engaged and mentally tough, regardless of the circumstances throughout the season or a game, are the ones that are going to be the most successful in the long run.
Coach, thanks again for taking the time, and best of luck to you and the Yellow Jackets the rest of the season.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Keith.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.